To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them. To die, to sleep no more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, to die, to sleep. To sleep, perchance, to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contempt, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the disdain that patient merit of the unworthy takes? When he himself might his escape make, who would burdens bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, except that the dread of something after death puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others we know not of? Thus conscience does make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sickened with the pale cast of thought, and enterprise of great pitch and moment with this regard their currents turn awry and lose the name of action. Thus in thy prayers be all my sins remembered.
He does ask the question well. The question is to be or not to be. As many of you who have read the play and studied it, whether you wanted to or not, as we studied that, we see that there is the man Hamlet who feels the demand for justice for a fallen family member. He fears what death will bring and feels compelled for the sake of justice to act. And that's his question, and we'll come back to that a little bit later. But for us, the question is to be or not to be disciples. It is a question that demands justice. It's a question that demands action. It's a question that defines our fate and our future. And it's a question each of us needs to ask, because it moves us into what we need to do. You saw Anne in the wheelchair. She broke her leg, and we had a walker from there, and I had to take her up to the second floor of a doctor's office to talk with a surgeon. And I went to the guard or receptionist, and I said, "My wife's just broken her leg. We're to see a doctor on the second floor." And I said, "Do you have a wheelchair available to take people up to the second floor?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Do you want to use it?" Now, I have done this to other people, but I slightly missed the humor this time. So he said, "Let me go get it for you." And yes, we wanted to use it. To be or not to be is whether or not we want God to use us, whether we want to use our faith in God to empower our lives to make a difference in our world. In the passage, which, by the way, is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, virtually identical, which suggests how important it was to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and to all the disciples, John writes in a different form and deals with the same questions, so he's not there. But in the other three, it's there, and it's there prominently, and it is the prominent question that comes before us. And Jesus goes on to say to the crowd, as he called them together, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple. Now, the word disciple is translated a different ways, but the key definition is it's linked to the word follow, and we'll come back to follow. A disciple was a follower. The disciple was one who came after the teacher. The disciple was one who wanted to walk in the steps of the teacher, to walk in his steps, as it says later in the New Testament. It referred to coming and coming back or returning to the teacher. Whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to come after me. And Jesus, he turned and looked at his disciples just before this verse, and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And what he was doing, what Peter was doing, and Jesus was trying to get him back towards, is do we follow Christ, or do we want Christ to follow us? Do we want Christ to be limited to this earthly frame and this earthly opinions and values? Or do we want to seek the divine and the divine power? And it requires something. A disciple was not only a pupil, but an inheritant. He sought to be a learner. How many of you have taught? Have you ever known a good teacher who stopped learning? Maybe they were a good teacher until they stopped learning. And so he calls us to be learners and to keep learning and to seeking his ways. In 2 Timothy, it says, he kept reminding the people, reminding God's people of these things. And it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the Word of God. To be a learner, we need to be in the Word of God and learning. To be a learner, it really helps if you're in some form of Bible study or small group or prayer group or Sunday school. If we choose not to learn, we lose our capacity not only to teach, but to be vital in the knowledge that has directed our lives. To learn not just the Word, but the power of God in the Word. Karl Barth, one of the great theologians, had an expression. He said, the Word became flesh, and then through theologians, it became words again. And what he was saying is that we have to learn the Word, but we have to learn the Lord of Scripture, who speaks through his Word, who becomes our Lord. Jesus answered Satan in the temptation, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the mouth of God speaks through the Word of God, and it speaks to us in prayer. When you stop learning, you cease to be a learner. Or to put it another way, you cease to be a disciple. Long for the ride. You know, most of you know that I was a counterintelligence agent. And they taught us surveillance. And that was the skill of following people with no one know that you were following them. That's not what we're seeking here. We're not seeking you to be in surveillance of God and his word and of his prayer. We want you to be alongside. It means to come along and to walk the journey with God. And let the world see what God is doing. If you have loved one to another as Jesus loves, by this will people know you are his disciple, as imitators of the teacher. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Deny themselves. Now, the word deny here that he uses in the Greek, it's actually a double word. And it's sort of like utterly deny themselves. Not sort of a cool deny. Sometime later when he was talking with Peter, and he warned Peter about the fact he was going to deny him three times, deny his association with Christ. Peter was going to do that, you know, in the thing in the cock crew three times. Peter's response when Jesus warned them of this, when Jesus said, "You will utterly deny me," Peter said, "I will not deny you." He said, "I won't even partially deny you." But he utterly denies because he couldn't let go of how he wanted it to be. Just like when they came for Jesus, he had a sword and he took the ear off of the servant. He was ready to follow Christ, but his way, which was really inviting Christ to follow him. The invitation to be a disciple is the invitation to follow Christ in his ways, and for that to make the difference. Implicit in this is the acceptance of a relationship. It's not just some distant teacher teaching you good things, and you say, "Well, I'm going to ponder that." It is acceptance of the pathway that the teacher is calling you to be. What are you denying yourself to be his disciple? Are you taking the time to learn about him? Or are you just too busy to take the time to be the learner about God? Are you letting the things of this world deny you of time with our Lord Jesus Christ? God calls us to deny ourselves so that we can apply ourselves to seeking him. And whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and must take up their cross. To take up the cross, it means the shame of the cross. It means to take that part of us that seems least able to follow, and by faith to know that God can use every part of us if we but follow. To take up the cross was the mission of Jesus Christ in this world, given him from the Father and chosen by himself. He came to die for our sins. That was his choice. And God calls us to receive that, to take up the cross. Martin Luther, the great theologian of grace, realizing that grace operates so powerfully on us that we cannot help but deny ourselves and seek the loved God who loves us. He said, "A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing." That's Martin Luther, the theologian of grace. It says, "Whoever would come after me, whoever want to be my disciple, must deny themselves, must take up their cross, and must follow me." And in that comes our mission. Our mission is to follow after God. To follow after God. And as I said, it was Christ's mission to die for us. It's our mission to live out his love, to walk in his ways, to learn his word, to talk with him, to walk with him, and know that we are his own. Now, we started with to be or not to be. Hamlet was at a crisis. His father was murdered, and he discovered who it was. And justice demands justice. And that meant that he must take a life. And in the process, it actually meant that he would ruin his life. And his sins would be remembered. He would face death. Our Lord Jesus saw our failures. He saw our sins that demanded justice. The Heavenly Father remembered our sins, and it demanded justice. And his mission was to bring justice through sacrifice. On the night on which he was betrayed, after he gave thanks for the opportunity to fulfill his mission, to die for us so that he could live for us and with us and make us alive. So after having given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." My mission is to know brokenness for you. And after the same manner, he took the cup after they had supped. And he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins." Not in part, in whole. Not a little bit, but completely. And as we remember his sacrifice, as we seek to follow him, we do this not in remembrance of our sins, but in remembrance of him who took away our sins and invited us to follow. Today, tomorrow, and literally forever, we invite all of you now to receive his love. We will invite you to come up through the aisles as to the ushers. For those of you that it's difficult to get around or prefer otherwise, communion will be brought to you. One of the questions when there's new people here is communion available to you if you're not a member of this church? Communion in this church is available to anyone who wants to receive the love of God that cleanses, embraces, and invite you to follow. Come, receive his love.